Joseph. She said Joseph a lot. I only hear that when I'm in trouble. So I don't know how to take that right now, but I know I love my wife. She motivates me. She motivates me. She motivates me to, you know, to do better and to be a better husband, be a better person. And if you don't have someone that in your life, a husband or wife, that doesn't motivate you, you're in trouble. And, you know, I love my wife, I love my family, but most of all, I love the church, and I love Jesus Christ. How many of you have came to the house with a need? How many of you came in the house with something that's troubling you, that's bothering you? How many understand that God is a transforming God? He knows how to change the outcome of our situations tonight. As you're turning to the Word of the Lord, we're going to go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. But I can remember, it's a funny feeling that this was once a library. And, you know, I grew up in this town, and I've been in, they used to have computers on that side of the sanctuary, and I can remember as a kid being over here at the computers, and we'd come in here to do homework when the computer was down at the house. But I remember coming in, getting movies and buying books. But now it's the house of the Lord that I go to. But now it's the church of the living God that I attend. And, you know, it's crazy how you know, some things God turns full circle in your life. And I love the Lord tonight. I'm glad that I have a place of worship. How many are glad you have a place tonight you can worship free will and come in here and just pour yourself out to God Almighty? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. I don't want to keep you too long tonight, but I believe I want to speak a message. The Lord wants to speak to somebody tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." How many understand we got to have one accord and one mind in this place? "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Verse 5 goes on and says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." How many are glad you don't just serve the King of Kings, but you serve this mighty servant, the one who came down and poured himself into and instilled himself into us in everyone's lives. Verse 8 says, "And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." How many understand there's only one name, and his name is Jesus Christ? There's only one healer, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one defender, and his name is Jesus Christ. I'm glad I serve a mighty God, a risen Savior, that he humbled himself and came down to this earth and gave himself as a man, but he was also God at the same time. And he knows what we are going through at every hour, every aspect of our life. If I could title this message, it'd be Ye Transformed. Be ye transformed. How many want to be transformed by God? How many want to be changed by God? You know, you can never be just one time changed. But there's a step to this thing, Brother Carl. I got to get closer and closer to God each and every day. I got to stay transformed. And so we're going to go ahead and pray over this message tonight. Lord, we love you. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, for what we've already felt in this house, Lord. We thank you for your mighty acts, Lord. We thank you for all the things you've done and the things you're going to do in the service, Lord. We ask you just to make your way where there seemeth to be no way tonight, Jesus, Lord. We know that all things work together for our good, Jesus. Lord, we know, Lord, you're a healer. We know you're a provider tonight, Lord. We ask you just to be in this place, Lord. Help me deliver your word, Lord, with clarity and wisdom tonight, Jesus. And help us to be responsive to your spirit, Lord. Help us to respond to your power and your glory tonight. And we just thank you. We magnify your holy name tonight, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, Lord. Be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. To transform means to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form of appearance or of your character. Of your appearance or of your character. It doesn't mean just of your appearance, but it also means of your character. A full transformation has to involve your appearance, Sister Runyon, and then your character as well. And so God is in the transforming business. If you have forgotten about it, or if you've misplaced it, if you've put it on the back burner and you haven't thought about it for a while, but let me remind you tonight, God is in the transforming business. He desires to transform each and every one of us tonight in this place, if we allow him to. He wants to change you and I today. He wants to design you and I in a way that will increase his kingdom. How many understand? That's what we're called to do. We're called to increase his kingdom. We're called to be a light to those who are in a dark place, Brother Nathan. We're called to reach down for those who are struggling by whatever it may be, Brother Jediah, that's troubling them. But where this church is set in the city of Whiteland to be a light, to be a soul saving station, a place for transformation to occur. The mind, the scripture and the scripture, the portion of scripture we read talks about the mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. But the mind says it is the element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world and their experiences, to think and to feel. It is the faculty of consciousness and thought. It is the faculty of consciousness and thought. It is what we think about. It is our mindset. It is how we look at things, the way we look at things, and then it shoots it to our mind, and we comprehend it in a way that, you know, whatever, however we see it, however we feel about it, we have thoughts, we have feelings, and that is our mind tonight. Everyone in this place has a mind. Everyone in this place has a consciousness. And so we have to understand that the mind is an element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world. It is that very thing that we use every day, our mind. As soon as we wake up in the morning, we start thinking about our everyday lives and what's ahead of us or what tasks we have to take on, either at our jobs or whenever we get home. What is the next task I have to do? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm asleep, I think about things, and I'll be woken up at night by it. And just in my subconsciousness, I'm thinking about work, or I'm thinking about things that are going on in my life, and it disturbs me of my rest sometimes. But how many understand, everyone has a mind, and we all have a thought process that goes on in our life. It is that very thing that we use every day. We wake up and we start feeling. You know, you don't just think, but you also feel. You don't just think, but we also feel. And through those feelings, we experience emotions either from people that we come in contact with or what happens to us just in life that goes on in general. Brother Paul, you know, we run into certain circumstances that, you know, may make us feel sad, angry, upset, even happy or joyful. But that goes on in the mind. All that goes on in the mind, your feelings and your thought process. It goes on in your mind and your brain. And it's a crazy thing, you know. Even doctors really can't describe how the brain works sometimes. You know why? Is because Jesus is the creator of that brain. Jesus is the creator of your mind. He's the creator of your thoughts. If the church is going to be the church of the living God, it's going to have a mind like Christ. Can I say that tonight, church? Can I remind you tonight that the church is founded on the mind of Jesus, not on the minds of our own self, not on our own thought process, but it's on the mind of Jesus Christ, Brother Caleb. It's not going to be, and souls aren't going to be saved because of us. It's going to be saved because of Jesus Christ working through us and through the power of the Holy Ghost that's inside of us. We need to have our minds centered and stayed on Jesus. In Matthew chapter 14, we read about Peter as he steps out of the boat and steps out on the water as he's looking to Jesus. And we see that Peter, as soon as he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he starts to sink. I mean, understand, we can look at some things and it causes our mind to read it in a way of, oh, I'm fearful. See, Peter, when he was on that water, he took his eyes off Jesus, and what did he look at? He looked at the wind. He looked at the waves. He looked at what was going on around him. How many understand we can't afford to look at what's around us tonight, church, but we got to understand, we got to have our minds, our eyes centered and stayed on Jesus Christ, because it's the only thing that's going to sustain you and I today. As soon as Peter took his eyes off of God, he started to sink. He started to sink. How many understand tonight we can't afford to start sinking in the world that we live in today? But we got to have a mind that's centered and stay. We got to have a mind like Christ. And we got to understand where we're at in Jesus tonight. We've got to get our attention back on the Lord today, church. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." How many understand we got to have a sound mind? How many in this place want a sound mind? How many want a sound mind? We're not built to be afraid tonight, church. We're not designed to be afraid. If you have the power of the Lord living inside of you, if you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you know, we're not built to be afraid. We have to lean on Jesus Christ in the hard times. And it's okay to be afraid sometimes. When we say this, it's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be scared, but we can't allow our fear to cripple our faith tonight. We can't allow our fear to cripple our mind, to cripple our thought process. And so 2 Timothy relays that, of that spirit. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. I want a sound mind. I want to understand where I'm at in God tonight. I don't want to be confused, Brother Mike. I don't want to be, you know, looking to something else that may cause me to think a certain way. But I want to be in line with God tonight. The Word of God doesn't change to suffice our own ideas, but rather we change to the Word of God. People want to pick and choose Scripture, Brother Carl. People want to pick and choose to suffice their sin and to uplift their own ideas and thoughts. But you know what? We need to conform our own life to the Word of God, to the plan of salvation. We got to understand that this is where our help comes from. This is where our knowledge comes from. This is where wisdom comes from. This is where our help comes from tonight, church. We got to be transformed by the Word. We got to be transformed by Jesus Christ. I don't want to be transformed by all this hocus pocus, whatever's out here, all this lukewarm mess that's out here, all this confusion, all this chaos, but I want to be transformed by God. I want to know where I'm at in Jesus Christ tonight. I got to leave here changed. I got to leave here transformed. Our mind is what causes you and I to make decisions. We make decisions on how we think about things. And Lexi always tells me, "You think too much sometimes. Just make a decision already." I'm like, "Well, okay, well, where are we going to go eat at?" I'll flip the page on that. So our mind causes you and I to make decisions. The way we think affects every action we take, what we say, or what we do. It is vital today that the church stays in one mind and in one accord. We can't afford for everyone to have cliques, everyone to have certain groups in the church, everyone to have, "Well, I'll obey by these convictions," or "I'll have these convictions." No, we need to have our convictions stayed and centered on Jesus Christ, on the Word of God, on what our pastor lays out in the principles over this platform. We got to understand tonight, we can't be separated in the church. A church that's separated is a church that's going to crumble in the hard times. But a church that's transformed by God, a church that's changed by Jesus Christ, a church that's on fire for God, a church that won't waver when we start looking at the things outside of these walls, that it discourages us like Peter, and we start sinking low. But no, we got to be transformed. We got to center and stay on Jesus Christ tonight. There's no room for two minds in the church. There's no room for two minds in the church. There's only one mind. The Word of the Lord says one mind and one accord. There's no two accords. There's no two minds. There's only one mind and one accord. You're either going to think like God thinks, or you're going to think like the world thinks. You're either going to act like the world acts, or you're either going to act like Jesus. You're either going to talk like the world talks, or you're going to talk how Jesus talks. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death." I don't know how much plainer that can be tonight. I don't know how much straightforward that can be tonight. For to be carnally minded, to be led by the flesh, to be led by your man, the skin, your flesh, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many want life and peace? How many want a spiritual mind tonight? I want to be focused on Jesus Christ. I want to have a spiritualness about me. I got to have my spiritual man override my carnal man. Your carnal mind will lead you and I down some scary paths if we allow it to. I made some decisions in my life, and I'm not talking sinful things, but I've made decisions in my life where I've been like, man, my carnality was totally in the way of that decision. I was totally led by my own thought. I was totally led by my own mind and what I thought was what was the right decision to make. If I would have just prayed about this, if I would have just prayed about that, where would I have been? What would have came to my way? What kind of blessing would have I obtained if I would have just hit my knees and cried out to God and said, Lord, have your way in this decision, in this circumstance of my life? But it's easy. Let me understand, it's easy to just make your own decisions. But it's hard for your carnal man to, when all hell assails you, to drop down and give it to God sometimes. As human beings, we like to take control of our own problems, but God wants us to have him in control of our problems. If we stay open to the ideas of the world and to the agenda of society, we will look back with regret and shame, church. This world has nothing to offer you and I today. A carnal mind will lead to death, but a spiritual mind will give peace and life. I want peace in my life. I want joy in my life. I want understanding in my life. I want wisdom in my life. I don't want to keep tripping over the same problems over and over and over again because I keep thinking in my own manner. I keep thinking in my own way. I can't trust in my own mind. A spiritual mind doesn't mean that you are better than anyone else. It doesn't give you the ability to judge anyone. It doesn't give you the authority to belittle anyone, but it simply means to have a mind like Christ. It simply means to be like Jesus. How many want to be like Jesus tonight? Above all else, the song says, above all else, I must be saved. Above all else, I must be saved. And it goes on and says, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved. I must be saved. You and I, we must be saved tonight, church. And when we look back at the first portion of Scripture we read tonight, the Word of the Lord says, let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ought to prefer our brother. As you read through that Scripture, we read it at the beginning, but it references to preferring your brother. We ought to be a servant to others as Jesus Christ was a servant to others. We should think less of us and others as more. That's a hard thing to do. When you have everything you need to do, when you have the priorities of your own life, it's hard to drop something and help somebody else out sometimes. But let me tell you something. Jesus, that's what Jesus did. He didn't come here to suffice himself. He came here to suffice others and to help others and to be caring for others. We should think of us as less and others as more. We ought to be humble and obedient until death like Jesus was. He was humble. He was a humble servant, and he was obedient until death. Until he laid himself on that cross, put himself on that cross and shed his blood for you and I, he was obedient. He never wavered. He never fell. He never faltered. He never went backwards, but he progressed and he kept going and he kept going and he was obedient to the will of God. How many want to be obedient to the will of God tonight? I want to be like Christ tonight. I want to be like Christ tonight. In the book of Exodus, chapter 34, if you have your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. And it's a portion of Scripture where Moses is it has an encounter with Jesus. I mean, understand, if we're ever going to get anywhere with God, we're going to have an encounter with him. We're going to have an encounter with him. This isn't no fast food religion. Can I say that? This isn't no drive-through experience. We got to have a relationship with God today. Nothing, you know, there's some things where I prayed and God, man, he acted so quick on it. But there's some other times where I've had to sit down and say, Lord, I'm not getting up until I get an answer. Lord, I'm not getting up until I understand that I'm getting wisdom from this situation. I'm not getting up until the situation has changed for me, has transformed for me. And so Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, it says, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And this is him talking to Jesus on Mount Sinai. He had an experience with God, Brother Paul. He had an experience with God that transformed him. Verse 30 says, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. So he came off the mount, and his face was shining, his face was glowing, and he didn't even know it. I mean, you're saying when you come in contact with Jesus Christ, some things are going to change. I mean, understand when you have a relationship with God, when you come in contact with Jesus Christ, you may be spiritually changed, but you're also going to be physically changed in God. I've seen people come into the house of God and be touched and be moved upon God and be moved upon by God, and they get up from an altar of prayer, and it's like, man, they're wearing the same clothes, they were wearing the same hairdo, they didn't comb their hair a different way, didn't take their glasses off, didn't do anything different, but you can tell there's something different about them. There's something different. They look different. They just, to your eye, you can see the glory of God on top of them. And so this is what happened to Moses. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them a commandment that all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face to cover his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. How many understand, you can put a veil in front of your face, in front of your friends, in front of your family, but this is a place of refuge. This is somewhere where you can take that veil off and you can get in contact with Jesus Christ tonight. You can have a renewed mind, a renewed spirit. You can leave this place changed. You can leave this place transformed tonight, church. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hide anything from God. Any kind of curtain, any kind of veil that's over top of you tonight, you can take that off at this altar. You can get real with God. My God is not a fake God. Jesus is not some fake thing, some idolatry that we worship, some pagan God. But he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who can heal, who can deliver, who can save and sustain you and I today. The skin on Moses' face was changed. His face was radiant with light and had a certain glow about it, that he wore a veil in front of the children of Israel. Then he took it off when he met with God. Let me understand, sometimes it's easier to take off things when you're around God. It's easier to unload your heavy burdens when you are by yourself in God. Some of the best times I've ever had in prayer is when I've been by myself, not when I'm at church. Let me tell you something. If you're going to have a mind like Christ, you're going to have a prayer life outside of these four walls. If you're going to have a transformed life and stay transformed and stay changed by Jesus Christ, you're going to have a prayer life outside of this place. And so this is what Moses did. He was in front of the children of Israel, but also he was in front of God. Let me understand that today. We got to be in front of people, but we also have to be in front of God today. We got to have a relationship with God. This church tonight, you know, we all have to be changed. Every and every one of them. I don't care if you've been in church 30, 40, 50 years. We got to stay changed. We got to stay transformed. And so God can not only change your mind, but he can also change your physical being when you start worshiping him and praising him and lifting him up. When you have an encounter with the Lord, something has to change. You'll start thinking differently. You'll start walking differently. You'll start talking differently. You'll start seeing things differently when you have a mind like Christ. I think you understand that today. So many people say, man, I'm confused. I don't know which direction to take. I don't know what the will of God is for me in my life. When was the last time you brushed up on your mind with Christ? Have you been thinking like Christ? Have you been one-on-one with Jesus? Have you been transformed? Have you been changed recently by God? So, Romans chapter 12. I know I'm jumping all over the place tonight, but Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what are you talking about, Brother Joseph? What are you talking about? What are you talking about, preacher? You know, when we want to be transformed, it's going to be by the renewing of our mind. And the Lord said it in his word right here. You're going to know the will of God when you have a mind like Christ. You're going to know the next step to take when you have a mind like Christ. You're going to know which decision to make, the right decision to make, Brother Caleb, when you have a mind like Jesus Christ. When you try to be like Jesus, not be Jesus Christ, but be like Jesus Christ. And so it is time for someone in this place tonight to be transformed by the power of God. You might have came in here confused and beat down and weary and tired and worn out, but God is willing and he's able to transform you and he's able to change your mindset. How many understand we get in a mode, we get in a rut of thinking in a worldly manner so many times? I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. If I find myself not prayerful, not prayed up, I start thinking how the world thinks. I start getting depressed and getting oppressed and getting high anxiety about situations that come into my life, and I find myself without peace, without joy, without long-suffering, without gentleness, without meekness, without the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And you know why that is? Is because my mind has moved, has regressed, has gone backwards. And so this is what we're talking about tonight. We got to be transformed. We have to have a mind like Christ. And so if we aren't transformed by God, we'll be transformed to this world. If we won't be transformed by God, what other option is there? It is to be transformed by the world. It is to be transformed by the agenda of society. It is to be transformed by politicians. It is to be transformed by media. Let me understand, media is a dangerous thing. Media can play tricks on your mind. CNN will play tricks on your mind by what you see. It seems like the news and the media just throws everything out there that's so depressing and so down. And very few times do they show anything that's positive. You'll never find anything in here that's negative in this word. In the Word of God, everything in here is positive. Everything in here is to help and sustain you and I today. And so, when we look at the children of Israel, the road to the promised land was designed by God. The road to the promised land was designed by God. He knew the children of Israel would change their mind and turn back to Egypt if they went through the Philistine country and saw war. The book of Exodus, you know, God took them through the desert towards the Red Sea. Other than taking the shorter route, which was going through Philistine country, which was the easiest route, the quickest way. How many understand sometimes the quickest way isn't always the best way? How many understand our way sometimes isn't the best way? And so it was even a shorter route to take, the way of the Philistine country, but he took them through the desert toward the Red Sea on their quest for the to the promised land. That change in route transformed the children of Israel. It changed them. It made them rely on God. Help me understand that today, is that our trials and our situations sometimes arise in our life just solely for us to rely on Jesus Christ. Just solely for us to understand that I got to have my help, and that my help comes from Jesus Christ. No other one can do. No other God can do it how Jesus can do it. No other Savior can save me like Jesus can. And so, though we see other routes that may look easier, and we question God and say, why are you taking me through this, or why are you taking me through this thing that's going on in my life, you know, that's happening to me in this manner, we need to trust in God and that He is allowing that trial or test to transform and change you and I today. You know, I mean, understand that we tend to complain a lot. I tend to complain a lot. You know, if the musicians want to come, if the singers want to come, I'm gonna end on this little segment here. But it's easy to complain when a trial or a test comes your way. I don't care how great your faith, how great you think your faith is, how great you think your belief in God is. When something comes knocking on your doorstep, like a sickness or an illness, cancer, or a financial need, or your job is gone. I've had that happen so many, you know, not so many times, but I've had that. Everything happened to me almost that you can think of. I haven't had a terrible illness or anything like that, but, you know, there's been some trials in my life where I look and I'm like, Lord, how are you going to do this? My faith is troubled. My belief in God is troubled. But let me tell you something. Even the children of Israel, God's chosen people, murmured and complained about where they were in their trial and their test when they took the hard route. Sometimes it's better for you and I to take the hard route that God lays out in front of us instead of taking the easy way out. God has His perfect way of renewing our minds. The route I'm on may be hard, but it's causing me to rely on my God. It's forcing me to renew my mind through prayer and fasting, which causes me to get closer to the Lord. Paul said like this, I have a thorn in my side. He said, I've asked three times to get it away, for you to take this thing from me, Lord, but I know that it's going to be better for me. And I know you're not giving me this to just destroy me, to relinquish me, but you're gonna make it to better me, to see me at the end of this thing. So we got to be transformed today, church. With everyone conforming to this and conforming to that, the church needs to take a stand and say, I won't act like that. I won't talk like that. I won't think like that. I mean, understand, we got to have a mind like Christ tonight. If the church is going to withstand the wiles of the devil, the wiles of the enemy tonight, it's going to be by the transformation of Jesus Christ. It's going to be by the mind like Christ. It's going to be by thinking like Jesus Christ would think, acting like how He would act, and talking like He would talk. I want my life to mirror everything that God lays out in this word. I want my life to mirror right after Him. The church isn't called to be conformed. It's called to be transformed. Can I say that again? It's not called to be conformed. It's called to be transformed. And so we weren't created to fit in with the world. We were created to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. We've all come into this place. We need to be one mind. We need to be of one accord. And when we're in one mind and one accord, we're going to see some things transpire in this place. We're going to see some things, you know, we're going to see strongholds being broken. We're going to see deaf ears being open. We're going to see blinded eyes being open and being able to see again. But if the church is going to keep that transforming culture at the core of its belief, it's going to be fueled by saints of God that have a renewed mind. As the scripture says, a renewed mind. It's going to be kept alive by people who are prayed up and full of the Holy Ghost. How many want to be full of God tonight? How many want to have a mind like Christ tonight? How many want to be transformed by Jesus Christ? Above all else, I must be saved, church. I got to be saved. I got to be transformed. I got to have a mind like Christ tonight. Thank you, church.